saying we have thousands and thousands of workers. We can't know this stuff.
Sure. Well, no, that's not the case at the golf club. The golf club roughly has about 100 employees, and what the workers are telling me, half of them were undocumented in Westchester, and I would say the same for Bedminster. I understand the organization might have thousands, but the golf clubs themselves, each one of them that operates independently, has roughly about 100 employees. So we're talking about 500 employees and five golf clubs. Half of them are undocumented, possibly, according to what clients are telling me. And we haven't heard from other golf clubs in other parts of the United States.
Congress is doing an investigation?
Yes. We were there last week. We met with members of the House. We met with the Senator Booker from New Jersey and also Senator Menendez. I believe they are circulating a letter requesting not only a thorough investigation by the FBI, Homeland Security investigations, but also protections for these workers.
Annabelle Romero, I want to thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Voices from the Edge is coming up next with our host, Joanne Hardesty. She will tackle the city of Portland's participation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell and the news you're not supposed to know. Flashpoints is off today. Instead, at 10 o'clock, it's Between the Covers. Ken Jones speaks with author Thomas Konstam on his new novel, Lake City. At 10:30 on Black Book Talk, Patricia Welch, Emma Ford, and Obi Hill speak with author Renee Watson on her new book, Watch Us Rise. At 11, Heather McCoy speaks with organizers from No More Freeways PDX. Then, in the second half of the show, she interviews houseless people enduring freezing temperatures this week on what services think they think that the city should provide. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. To become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on the button marked Donate.
KBOO holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Quanis Hayes Angel Anniversary on Saturday, February 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the former DMV on 82nd Avenue in Portland. This is a candlelight vigil in loving memory of loved one Quanis Hayes. This event is for the family and friends to remember Moose. On February 9th, 2017, Moose was shot 3 times by police. He was only 17 years old. Bring flowers, candles, and balloons, and stories to the now-closed DMV office near the Banfield Pet Hospital on Northeast 82nd. Again, that's the second annual Quanis Hayes Angelversary on Saturday, February 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the former Oregon DMV building, 1836 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's 8:02. Joanne Hardesty is coming up. She's on her way. And with Voices from the Edge, she will be taking the city of Portland's participation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, talking about that issue. But she's on her way in a few minutes, and that show will be on. In the meantime, we'll get some Bob Dylan here from his album Love and Theft. Tweedledum, Tweedledee. This is KBOO.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee. They're throwing knives into the tree. 2 big bags of dead man's bones. Got the noses to the grindstone. Living in the land of Nod. Trusting their fate to the hands of God. They pass by so silently. Tweedledum and Tweedledee. turn and run. They're making a noise to the sun. His master's voice is calling me. Say tweedledum to tweedledee. All that morning sun, they walk among the sleepy trees. They know the secrets of the breeze. Twiddly dum, said twiddly dee. Your presence is obnoxious to me. They like babies sitting on a woman's knee. Well, rain be down on my window pane. I got love for you and it's only pain. Brains in the pot, they beginning to boil. They're dripping with garlic and olive oil. Twiddly D's on his hands and his knees. Saying, throw me something, mister, please. What's good for you is good for me. Say, tweedledum, tweedledee. Well, they're living in a happy harmony. Tweedledum and tweedledee. Sure. They got a paid permit and a police escort. They're lying low and they're making hay. They seem determined to go all the way. They run a brick and tile company. Truth is a sacred dream. My pretty baby, she's looking around. She's wearing a multi-$1,000 gown. Tweedledee is a low-down, sorry old man. Tweedledum, he'll stab you where you stand. I've had too much of your company.
Joanne Hardesty will be coming up in just a few minutes on Voices from the Edge. She'll be talking about the city of Portland's participation in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. That's coming up in just a few minutes as she's on her way.
Every step of the way, we walk the line. Your days are numbered, so am I. Piling up, we struggle and we strain. We're all boxed in, nowhere to escape. City's just a jungle, more games to play. We're trapped in the heart of it, trying to get away. I was raised in the country, I've been working in the town. Been in trouble ever since I set my suitcase down. Got nothing for you, I had nothing before. Don't even have anything for myself anymore. Sky full of fire, paint on down. Nothing you can sell me, of expression. A thought so sublime could never do you justice in reason or rhyme. Only one thing I did wrong. Stayed in Mississippi a day too long. The devil's in the alley, mules in the store. Say anything you wanna, I have heard it all. I was thinking about the things that Rosie said. I was dreaming, I was sleeping in Rosie's bed. Walking through the leaves, falling from the trees. Feeling like a stranger nobody sees. So many things that we never will undo. I know you're sorry, I'm sorry too. Some people will offer you their hand and some won't. Last night I knew you, tonight I don't. Need something strong to distract my mind. I'm gonna look at you till my eyes go blind. Well, I got here following the southern star. I crossed that river just to be where you are. Only one thing I did wrong. Stayed in Mississippi a day too long. Well, my ship's been split to splinters and it's sinking fast. I'm drowning in the poison. Got no future, got no past. But my heart is not weary. It's light and it's free. I got nothing but affection for all those who've sailed with me. Everybody moving, if they ain't already there. Everybody got to move somewhere. Stick with me, baby. Stick with me anyhow. Things should start to get interesting right about now. My clothes are wet, tight on my skin. Not as tight as the corner that I painted myself in. I know that fortune is waiting to be kind. So give me your hand and say you'll be mine. But the emptiness is endless, cold as the clay. It always come back, but you can't come back on the way. Only one thing I did wrong. Stayed in Mississippi a day too long.
This is KBOO. It's 13 minutes past 8 o'clock, and Joanne Hardesty's show, Voices from the Edge, is on now, but she will be here in a few minutes. She's going to tackle the city of Portland's participation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. At 9 o'clock, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell and the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Flashpoints is off on Between the Covers. Instead, Ken Jones will speak with author Thomas Konstam on his new novel, Lake City. At 10:30 on Black Book Talk, Patricia Welch, Emma Ford, and Obie Hill speak with author Renee Watson on her new book, Watch Us Rise. And at 11, Heather McCoy speaks with organizers from No More Freeways, PDX. And then in the second half of the show, she interviews houseless people enduring freezing temperatures this week on what services they think that the city should provide. And this KBOO program is made possible by member support. Become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the button marked donate. Joanne Hardesty is coming in soon. But in the meantime, we'll get some more Love and Theft with Bob Dylan.
Good morning, good morning. I am Joanne Hardesty and welcome to Voices from the Edge. My apologies for our late start this morning, but there is so much going on in our world, especially here in the Portland metro area. So I want to start by giving you two dates. That is February 12th and February 13th. Two important things will be happening at Portland City Council as we consider withdrawing from the Portland Joint Tourism Task Force. If you've been in Portland for longer than a decade or so, you will know we've been in, we've been out, and we are back in. And I am proposing that we get out for good. Would love to have the conversation. Give us a call here at the station at 503-231-8187 and let's have the conversation. So on Wednesday, there will be a work session with the Portland City Council starting at 2 p.m. And the work session will have representatives from the Joint Tourism Task Force, FBI, talking about why we should stay in the Joint Tourism Task Force. And then there will be opponents that will testify as to why it is time for Portland to get out. As the newest Portland City Council member, I want us out. I never thought we should have gotten back in. And the reasoning that we were given to get back in my opinion, just doesn't pass the sniff test. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to talk about these two events next week. So I started with Wednesday with the work session at 2 p.m. at Portland City Hall. And on Thursday at 1 p.m., there will be a rally outside City Hall in time for City Council testimony on the Joint Tourism Task Force and whether Portland should pull out of that involvement. And so why do I want us to pull out? And so let me finish that first. Okay, so we'll have the hearing. Public testimony will be accepted. I would encourage people who can't make it to City Hall that day to actually contact their City Council, the entire City Council. And it's helpful if you would copy the mayor and everybody together so we all know what communications are coming into City Hall in support and in opposition to the Joint Tourism Task Force. This is really important work. Because this is something that the community has been working on for quite some time. And you may know that there are efforts being made to convince us that we are safer if we are part of the Joint Tourism Task Force than we would be if we withdrew. But in my opinion, especially based on in-depth conversation around this entire city, talking to people about the pros and cons, talking to the certified smart people, the FBI, the Portland officers who are involved, and other of my colleagues, it's become really clear to me that we have no ability to supervise officers who are part of the Joint Tourism Task Force, And therefore, if we can't supervise them, they should not be working on our behalf, especially for a federal government who has shown that they are absolutely committed to demonizing people who are immigrants or refugees or people who believe that Black Lives Matter. And so it is important as a community, especially a community who pretends that it is a sanctuary city, that we stand very firmly and say that we want to have control of our law enforcement officers, and we want to make sure that they are not working on behalf of the federal government in ways that we as a community said we do not support. And so you want to join the conversation, give me a call. Phone number here is 503-231-8187. I've only been at City Hall, let's see, this is my fifth week. It is my fifth week at City Hall, and I got to tell you, every day is a new day, never a dull moment. In fact, this afternoon, we'll be voting on a resolution that will condemn white supremacy and hate speech in the city of Portland. So I'm looking forward to participating in that. But today, we're going to have some wonderful testimony in support of pulling Portland out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And let me just say that the community has been working on this nonstop since our last mayor, Charlie Hales, actually had a city council vote that put us back fully in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. For some people who may not know what the Joint Terrorism Task Force is, it was created as a mechanism for law enforcement agencies to share information on terrorist activities and plans to a broader community so that they could coordinate law enforcement responses to those efforts. But what we know from the very beginning, right after 9/11, is that the Joint Terrorism Task Force, in fact, hasn't stopped any terrorist activities from taking place, except the ones that they created. So that is, in fact, the problem. I'm going to go to the phone line. I have Jeremy on the line. Good morning, Jeremy. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, good morning, Joanne. So, yeah, you've just referenced the thing I was just going to ask about. In your conversations with the constabulary, as I call them, your various police forces, have any of them cited anything besides the unfortunately named Mohammed, who was clearly entrapped? You know, he had no interest in any real interest in committing any crimes until they made it very easy for him to be accused of trying to blow up Pioneer Square. But are they claiming any other fabulous successes?
No, they're not. No, and in fact, in my conversations, they told me that they are focused now on identifying and interrupting white supremacist activities. But I don't know about you, but I've seen no prosecution of white supremacist activity
I've seen a lot of obstruction of justice or whatever. Ignoring of lots of white supremacist felonious and misdemeanor activity by the cops. That's so. Did they give any examples of that? Did they say, you know, we're pursuing a case against this group or that group? Did they?
Well, as you may know, this is really a top secret operation whereby the public, even elected officials, don't have access to. We only have access to the information they want to share, and we have no way to to make sure that the information we're getting is accurate. And so, we're supposed to trust them. In fact, they are doing no reports to the Portland City Council and didn't start until they knew I was going to work to pull us out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And their response, quite frankly, was, oh, you want reports? Oh, well, we could do that. We'll have to look and see what kind of reports we could give you on a regular basis. Well, it's too late for that.
All right. Well, just one thing is slightly off topic, but that Central East Side Business District
Central East Side Industrial Council had a proposal.
Whatever.
Yes.
I was kind of surprised. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, you and Chloe and Ms. Fritz, I thought that was enough to stop that craziness, but apparently it's not.
Well, actually, it is the best example of community, of a community, a business community on top of that, that actually listened carefully to people who wanted a different approach to the approaches we've used downtown, as it relates to businesses and people who are houseless. This is the first time that I've actually seen a business association really think thoughtfully about the impact it was going to have on a houseless population. And just like I said at City Council, I actually believe that this business council, I sat down with them, as well as with members of the Compassionate Care Committee. And I absolutely believe that this is an opportunity for us to do it right, rather than do it like we've done it in the past.
Oh gosh, I hope you're right, but I'm nervous because the whole clean and safe. I've always thought that they're leaving out a line in that slogan, you know, for the clean and safe cops downtown. It's clean and safe if, you know, if you own a house and if you don't live outside and if you want to, you know, be an upper middle class Portlander. Sure, it's going to be clean and safe.
I appreciate that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that clean and safe program downtown has a heavy-handed approach as it relates to houseless people in the community. And I think there's way too many private security that are being paid for to actually sweep houseless people from all parts of the city. But don't get that confused with what we accomplished yesterday. What we accomplished...
Okay, I guess I missed it.
We accomplished yesterday was actually creating a table where there wasn't one lone houseless voice, where people could come together and work on hiring houseless people to clean up the garbage, hiring houseless people to be part of the community safety team, to hire houseless people to take a peer approach to harm reduction when engaging with people who are houseless. The goal is to get people off the street into housing, and I think we started yesterday, but that's just the beginning. We got work to do. That was just like putting the bones on, right? Now it's time to put the meat on.
Well, I'll see it when I believe it. But
you know, I got to tell you,
and I hope I get to see it.
Let me take one more moment with you, because I just want to say, you know, I'm an activist. I've been an activist my whole life, but I'm also an activist who actually likes to win. And so when we win, we have to build on our wins rather than just assume that it's all just smoke and mirrors. I would not have supported it if I thought it was smoke and mirrors, and I made that very clear. And I am committed, just like Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fritz, to making sure that it's implemented the way it was talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Hold us accountable.
I plan to. And you know, I mean, I'll never forgive Fish, and I'm sad he's still on the council, for his behavior during Occupy.
You know, my name is Bennett. I'm not in it. I am a new kid on the block. I'm doing my part. I hope you'll do your part, too. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Do we have other callers on the line? Well, again, I want to give you those two dates for next week. Next week is going to be a very important date. That is Wednesday, February 12th, and Thursday, February 13th. On February 12th, there will be a work session. And the work session on the Portland Joint Tourism Task Force will include pro and con sides on the issue of whether or not Portland should pull out of the Portland Joint Tourism Task Force, which we have all over the country. The goal of the Joint Tourism Task Force is to coordinate police actions as perceived by the federal government to ensure that we are aware and coordinating activity in conjunction with terrorism actions and activities. And again, as I've said many, many, many times, it is absolutely my view that we are not safer being in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. In fact, we know less having Portland officers participating than what we would know if we actually picked up the phone and called the FBI and said, so what's going on this week? I want to also let people know that when we pull out, it's not a matter of now the FBI is not going to talk to us and tell us if there's a terrorist activity underway or being planned. Of course, they're going to tell us. They're going to pick up the phone and they're going to call the police chief and they're going to develop a plan on how they're going to intervene in that activity. We do not have to pay for Portland police officers to be there every day in order to justify staying as part of this secret military operation that I have no ability as an elected city commissioner or my colleagues have to supervise on their day-to-day activities. We don't know what they're doing, but what we do know is that the two officers, Portland police officers, who are part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force also have duties in the Portland Intelligence Unit. And we don't know what the Portland Intelligence Unit does. So if they are interconnected with the FBI and with ICE and with other federal entities, I have a lot of concerns about accountability and who reports to who. Tell me your opinion. Let me know if you think that Portland should stay in the Joint Terrorism Task Force or if they should get out. And I have to tell you, I have testified on this issue at the Portland City Council at least four times since we have been in, and out. And every time, all the testimony to say, no, we should not be a part of the secret policing operation has been from every community group that's testified. The only ones who've ever testified in favor has been the Attorney General and the City Council. Other than that, I've seen no one come out in an organized fashion saying that the Portlanders are safer being a part of this operation. And I think that's something that is really worth 2 days of testimony. I want to also let you know that on Wednesday at 2 p.m., when we have the work session, there will be no public testimony, but it's really important for people to come out and really hear the debate, hear both sides of this issue, because it is a critical issue about who we are as Portlanders and where we're headed as we continue with this federal administration. And it is important that all my colleagues on the City Council, whether they support us being in the Joint Terrorism Task Force or whether they want us to pull out, all of them should hear from you. And so you should email, you should make phone calls, you should tweet, you should make Facebook comments. It is important that we come out as a community and decide, A, how we want to be policed and whether or not we want to use City of Portland money, resources, officers, time, and energy doing secret surveillance of community members for reasons that are inconsistent with Oregon's Constitution. I think those are the things that we have to consider, and I'm really looking forward to having this conversation out in the open and public and having it as part of commitment to make sure that we are, in fact, a sanctuary city. As I said earlier, we are going to this afternoon be voting on a city council resolution, and that resolution will be condemning white supremacist activity and hate speech in the city of Portland. I'm looking forward to the dialogue and the conversation around this resolution, but I'm really looking forward to what we do after we pass the resolution. I know that there are some community groups who have reached out to the City of Portland with some ideas about trainings that can be done for city employees so that they're able to A, recognize hate speech and white supremacist symbols and actions, as well as be able to intervene on behalf of colleagues and community members. So I'm really looking forward to this afternoon on the City Council when we have that conversation. But it's definitely been a very interesting 5 weeks. And I am so excited that next week, one of these primary issues that I talked about all last year, which is getting us out of the Joint Tourism Task Force, will actually be at the City Council, actually be deliberated and be voted on, is absolutely the plan that we have for next week. It has been absolutely fabulous to be on the other side of the table, because what I find is that when I ask questions, people actually have to answer my questions, which is a little different than when you come in as an activist. You come in as an activist and people pretend that they're answering your question, but they know they don't really have to. And so that it's been very fun for me to be on the other side of the table. As I mentioned to the caller earlier, it's funny because I get grief kind of on all sides of the podium. There are activists who think that I'm not activist enough on the city council, that I should be every day calling out my colleagues and embarrassing them and making them feel bad. And to that I say, I would be a very ineffective city commissioner if I spent my time abusing my colleagues. I would not be someone that would have the ability to count to three and make sure that I was working to get three votes so that I would be able to pass the kind of legislation that I think will make a huge difference in the city of Portland. I want to make sure you know again, so next week is the Portland Joint Tourism Task Force work session on Wednesday at 2 p.m. and again on Thursday, a 1 p.m. rally in front of City Hall in support of pulling Portland out of the Joint Tourism Task Force. And then at 2 p.m., a City Council hearing to hear from the public what their perspective is on whether or not Portland should be in the Joint Tourism Task Force. If you want to join this conversation and tell me, what is your opinion? Have you been paying attention to this? There have been some fabulous community groups over the years who have consistently worked on this issue. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to Portland Cop Watch and to ACLU and to the League of Women Voters, and just so many people over the years have made the case for why this is not an appropriate use of our time and not the appropriate use of our resources and not the appropriate use of our vision of ourselves as a sanctuary city. Because we cannot be a sanctuary city when we have police operating in ways that we cannot hold them accountable. And that became pretty clear this week also, as you heard, when the city council voted to give a $100,000 settlement to a police officer who thought it was a funny joke at a roll call to say that, well, if you come across black people, referring to drunk slash houseless folks, then you should just kill them. He did that a year ago. Luckily, some of his colleagues turned him in. He was disciplined. His discipline was being terminated. And of course, the Portland Police Union decided that he should be defended and given his job back. I was a no vote, would always be a no vote on a situation like that, because in my view, it is better to fight that discriminatory activity rather than cave in and pay a settlement. And it looks like we have a caller. Hello, Sue. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
How are you?
For coming back. I'm good. Thanks for coming back. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Of course. Totally
I'm home.
Agree with you on this whole issue. Just wanted to make a clarification. The 12th is a Tuesday.
12th and 13th.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, thank you very much. My bad. The dates are absolutely correct. The 12th and 13th.
Okay.
So that means Tuesday and Wednesday we will be having these conversations. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. I am not looking at my calendar, and I don't have my glasses on, which are never a good thing for me.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And please go to my commissioner Facebook page and click like so that you can get the information about the rally, as well as the work session, as well as your opportunity to weigh in on this issue. Thanks again.
Great. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good day. And so again, I am actually pulling up my my page because I love it when our callers have more information than I do, which seems to be the story of my life, which is why it's always good to have people because they know what's going on. And so again, we are talking the 12th and 13th, the 12th at 2 p.m. at Portland City Hall. We will be having a work session on pulling Portland out of the Joint Tourism Task Force. And on the 13th, Wednesday the 13th, I understand, we will be having a city council hearing, and that hearing will take place at 2 p.m. at Portland City Hall. And we will be having a rally outside City Hall at 1 p.m. in preparation for the City Council deliberations and vote. I certainly look forward to seeing as many of you as possible and hoping that you will, if you cannot be there in person, then come, then email or text or Facebook or use any tool of communication to weigh in so that the City Council understands that this is a big issue in our community. Good morning, Marcus. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Well, how would you like to add?
Well, I just tuned in and was listening, and I was a little disappointed that so much effort is being placed on the issue of the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
What do you mean?
I think there's bigger issues within the police department that need to be addressed. You just brought up one of them about the officer that was given a $100,000 settlement when he should have been fired. And I think there's a lot of problems with the mayor being the commissioner of the police department. The rank and file are very disconnected from the chief, who I have heard nothing from since the chief was hired, other than she got a restraining order against someone that was stalking her, which I think was unfortunate. But
well, I don't know.
That's the extent of the news.
I don't disagree with anything that you've just said, with the exception of what you said about Chief Outlaw. However, I will tell you I am not the police commissioner, and so I am taking a bite of the apple from where I sit. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of things that have to be fixed.
Yeah, the joint terrorism thing is, I mean, it's two police officers and probably a misuse of money, but I think if we've got this much energy to spend, we should be, trying to make police officers better. Well, I mean, I think these two guys,
it's just one piece of the puzzle. It's not the big piece. It may not even be the most important piece, but it's just one piece of the apple, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right, right. No, I hear what you're saying, and I have to say, I voted for you. I'm extremely encouraged that you're on the city council, because I think the city council is, I don't have a lot of positive things to say about them. I think they're a tired, frustrated group of people, and I think they need somebody in there to stir it up. But I'd like to see things get stirred up more at the top, rather than, like you say, it's a tiny bite. But I've had some interactions with the police, and they are not happy being Portland police officers.
Well, I mean, I think Willamette Week did an excellent job of actually explaining why police officers aren't happy being police officers. And I'm looking forward to actually getting into the article that came out about 911 calls. Very few of Portland police officer calls are really about police business. And as head of the Bureau of Emergency Communication, I am already talking about how do we start shifting mental health calls away from police to mental health professionals or other well-trained people who can engage and interact with people who are suffering from mental health issues. I don't have to be police commissioner to have an impact on policing because I have the rest of the public safety system. And so,
I think that's a very positive step because I deal with homeless people because I run into them every day.
Right.
I work in North Portland, and mental health is the issue. And
well, for some people, certainly for some people, it's mental health. But when we have community members calling the police to say that they have unwanted people outside their business or their home, and so the 911 operator says, well, what are they doing? Well, nothing, but they just make me uncomfortable, right? That the role of the police is not to make people feel comfortable, right? The role of the police is to solve crimes and to stop crimes from taking place.
Yeah, public safety.
Right? And so if you look at that chart in Willamette Week, and it was just one day in the history of a 911 operator, but it really told a very telling story. For once, I absolutely agree with Daryl Turner. Police are like doing way, way, way too much. So let's get them out of mental health. Let's get them out of trying to find housing for people. Let's get them out of going to remove people who make other people uncomfortable. And let's make sure we're sending the right first responder for the issue.
Exactly. And I would like to see a two-day workshop on that rather than the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I think...
Well, we have to do it all. It's not an either or. We have to do it all.
Right. I just think that the mental health issue, the homeless issue, where the police are at, the lack of accountability for a lot of police officers. And
again, you haven't said anything that I disagree with. Nothing.
As a citizen, I'd like to see the chief out there a little more. I would feel better. I think that would help the public perception of the police. Everyone I talk to says that Daniel Outlaw is just behind the scenes and that it's Ted Wheeler that's running the show and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I think you ought to have that conversation with Chief Outlaw and Ted Wheeler. I can't help you with that. You have a great day, okay?
I gotta go.
Have a good day. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. I wanted to ask you if you've had that meeting with the people from the Fusion Center.
Not
which
yet.
Which is usually associated with the JTTF.
Yes. Yeah. Not okay. yet. That meeting is coming up, though, next week. It is definitely on my calendar, and it's been confirmed. So I'm certainly looking forward to that conversation. And thank you for the information that you left for me at my office.
Okay, great. You got that.
I did.
To make sure that... I'm concerned also that the ordinance that was presented by the ACLU and Dan Handelman earlier, what was it, this fall?
Yes.
It refers to some, I don't have the wording in front of me, but I talked with Dan about this and he mentioned it as a weakness of it. It refers to full-time employees going to the JTTF. And with the Fusion Center, and I'm betting with the JTTF, they're half-time employees a lot of the time. And so it could be not restricting what needs to be restricted, and I'm hoping that in that work session people will really address. I said, well, why not change that? And he said, well, you'd have to take it back to all the original signatories. But if it's not going to have actual teeth, it's not going to be able to affect what we want it to and be purely symbolic, that would be a problem in my mind.
So let me tell you, we added an actual amendment. So what we did was really streamline the resolution because there was a lot of unnecessary information in it, let me just say, because of course when a lot of people have done it, and of course as a city commissioner I have to pass something that makes sense, that becomes part of the statute, etc. And so what we've done is really streamline the resolution and revise it to say that I would work with the mayor and the police chief and come back with an ordinance that actually talks about what will happen, how within 90 days, right? So we're setting a time limit within 90 days to come back to the city council with an ordinance that actually talks about, so what happens now, right? Because it's not like we're going to say, well, we're never going to talk to the FBI again or Homeland Security or ICE, right? And so and so I thought that was a brilliant recommendation, because it's really easy to get down into the weeds, right? But the bottom line is that we want a clear message that says we're pulling out, and then we'll come back with the details about what does that look like, and we'll do that within 90 days.
Well, I think that makes really good sense. The gentleman who was just on, I think he misses what the JTTF is, because having, it's not just having two Portland policemen's time and salary taken up with that involvement. It's that they put in that Portland and Oregon citizens' names doing normal activities like Occupy ICE or Occupy, or you know, any kind of demonstration or protest will be put into a system that goes nationally and cannot be purged. And that's a violation of Oregon law. And that can be any innocent citizen, innocent citizen who they identify as having been at a protest. And in the past, we know our own Intelligence Bureau kept records on people who were members, Quakers, you know, all sorts of organizations that have nothing to do with violence or terrorism. So I think it is really important that we get it right. And I think it's really important we educate our citizens to why is this dangerous for you? Why does Oregon have a statute saying this would be a violation to keep records on people going about their normal First Amendment activities?
Thank you so much.
Anyway.
I know you've done so much work on this, and I know you've got so much passion behind this, and I thank you, because as a team, we come at this from all sides. So all of us have a little of the information, and together we are a powerful force. Thanks again.
Yes. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Do we have another caller on the line? Good morning, Jacob. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hi, Joanne. I just wanted to bring up about the 911 call center, which you said is the your emergency communications. Now, last week there was an item in the news about the Portland Police Union going to workers at the 911 call center and telling them to leave their union, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and join the Portland Police Union.
Yes, yes.
What do you think is going on there? And I hope that, I'm glad that you're aware of that, and I hope that listeners are.
Oh, I'm very much aware of that. And we reminded the 911 call center in the city that we have represented employees, and the fact that the police union is trying to steal members from another union should be of a big concern to the city, because we could certainly find ourselves liable for unfair labor practices by allowing the Portland Police Association to try to steal represented employees. And so my staff is very clear. We're monitoring it very closely. And we have not allowed access to the 911 call center to the Portland Police Association.
That's good, because it seemed like it might be an attempt to undermine the work that you're doing.
Well, no, it's an attempt to gain power. There's no question in my mind that Daryl Turner understands that policing is going to change, and it can change without me ever having the police bureau in my portfolio. And I think that's making him a little nervous. He'll have more power. But unfortunately, it would not be good for the employees, because the union represents sworn officers, and the unsworn do not feel like they get as much representation. So there's already a history with the police union saying they represent people who aren't sworn but not acting like it. So, but thank you. I appreciate you bringing that to the public's attention. There's just way too much going on for me to share it all. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Linda. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to say that I am delighted that you're on the council, and thank you. I want to say, as I feel a little bit safer, but I do not feel safe in this city like I used to feel mm-hmm. as a member of the LGBTQ community.
I hear you. I don't either. I mean, this is not a safe time for people who aren't white male and upper middle class to be walking the street in the city
just
of Portland.
Is not.
No.
And
I feel
I
that.
I thank you.
I thank you very much for your call. I can't hear that often enough. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye bye. Any more calls? Excellent. Well, all right, we're getting minus on minutes, and so I just want to remind you of two very important dates next week, Tuesday, February 12th, and Wednesday, February 13th. On the 12th, the Portland City Council will have a work session, which means public testimony will not be taken at 2 p.m., in regard to pulling out of the Joint Tourism Task Force. And then on Wednesday, we will have a rally outside of City Hall at 1 p.m. in time for the City Council hearing and vote on whether we should pull out of the Joint Tourism Task Force. We've had some wonderful conversation today, and I thank you so much for your interest in this issue. And I believe Paul is going to be our last caller. Hello, Paul. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hey, Joanne, thanks. Just a quick question about the timeline on JTTF.
Okay.
And its relationship to Muhammad Bahamud. Was there any sort of question about that kind of collusion, like all of a sudden it got restarted with Muhammad?
No, of course. I mean, one of the things that really bothers me about secret police operations is how little information we, the public, have access to. And so, you know, they think that they're doing, they would never have even come to talk to me or my other city council colleagues if they were not aware that I was planning to pull us out. And so I just think if we're a sanctuary city, we cannot hide behind secrecy and how the government interacts with community members.
Absolutely. Where was the flip-flop?
Where was the flip-flop?
Yeah, like we were in, we were out, we were in, we were out again.
Well, it depends. It always depends on who's the police commissioner. The police commissioner is always taking the lead. The first opportunity we had was under Tom Potter. And Tom Potter, as a former police chief who did not have secret clearance, absolutely refused to have Portland police officers be involved. Our last mayor, Charlie Hales, had a vote. He got by a simple majority to have us rejoin. And so I hope this is the final time that the City Council will be voting on the Joint Tourism Task Force. Thank you so much for your call. I greatly appreciate it. And if you can't show up, make sure your voice is heard, either email, voicemail, whatever communication devices you use.
Congrats.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day. What do you know? We might be able to slip in just one more. Excellent. Well, hopefully I will see you or hear from you next week as we take this City Council vote on pulling out of the Joint Tourism Task Force. Tuesday, the 12th, is the work session. Wednesday, 1 p.m., the rally. 2 p.m., work session, Portland City Hall. Feel free to reach out to my commission Facebook page or to my office if you need additional information. I am so excited to be back at KBOO. I can barely stand it. I feel like I've come back home, and I know you guys have my back. So I am Joanne Hardesty. This has been Voices from the Edge, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a great day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
It's 8:58. This is KBOO Portland, and up in just about a couple of minutes, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell and the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, it's Fight the Empire, and guess what? It's Per Fogering's birthday, so be kind. He's going to give us the big picture. At 10 o'clock, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, it's Between the Covers. Ken Jones speaks with author Thomas Konstam on his new novel, Lake City. At 10:30 on Black Book Talk, Patricia Welch, Emma Ford, and O.B. Hill speak with author Renee Watson on her new book, Watch Us Rise. And at 11, Heather McCoy speaks with organizers from No More Freeways PDX. And then in the second half of the show, she interviews houseless people enduring freezing temperatures this week on what services they think the city should provide. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. To become a member, go to kboo.fm. Click on the button marked Donate. Up next, it's Press Watch.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Big Money Agenda explores the effects of money in politics, Citizens United, as well as solutions to the issues of money and politics that's preventing real change. There will also be a discussion after the film. Again, that's the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and I'm Teresa Mitchell. And this is the news you're not supposed to know. We'll start with resident Ronald Rump. Today outlined the importance of faith in American society. And they say that the speech mirrored his State of the Union address. And then he proceeded to list his administration's accomplishments and goals. He said, since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights to extending the vote for women, have been led by people of faith. Yep, that's what he said. This is the best thing since making the pie higher. Today, I want to talk about socialism.